Let's pray as we come to God's Word. Lord, we thank you for the book of Exodus and every book of the Bible. And Lord, we thank you that you speak to us. You spoke to your people 3,000 years ago. You continue to speak to us today through your Word. And I pray that our hearts and minds would be open to receive your Word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do you find God? It's a question that a lot of people ask, and you'll hear a lot of people in our society saying things like this: hey, whatever works for you, man. You find God, you know, however you find God or spirituality or inner peace, however you do that, that's all up to you. It's up to you to find your own way. And, you know, there's a little bit of truth, and I mean very little a bit in that, like 1%. And it is that each one of us has to have a relationship with God personally. I can't find your way to God for you. I can't come to God for you. My relationship with God is my relationship with God. Yours is yours. But here's the thing. God tells us how to get to him. He tells us how to approach him. He gives us the instruction how to do that. And we don't get to just figure out our own way to God. Because what does that mean? That means that all of us are just little gods making up our own little religions, if we get to do that. If I get to figure out, okay, this is how I'm going to get to God. I'm going to climb a tree once a day, and then I'm going to run around my block a few times, and I'm going to pray a little bit, and I'm going to do certain things, I'm going to obey certain rules. That's how I get to God. No, you don't get to make up your own religion. God tells us how to approach him, and we come to him on his terms. And you see through the Bible, it's all about God reaching down to people and showing the way. And then people are to follow that way. But in our culture, we're all supposed to figure it out ourselves. And I just want to tell you something. None of us is that smart. None of us is smart enough to figure out how to get to God without his word and without his spirit. I can't get to the spirit realm. I can't jump high enough. My vertical's not that good. I can't get to heaven that way. Okay? It doesn't work that way. And you'll hear people say, well, there are many paths to the top of the mountain. And that's a nice phrase. And, you know, if you do go to some mountains, you'll have different paths to the top. I used to climb the Blue Hills with my dad when I was a kid, and we used to follow the Blue Dot Trail. And you also had the Green Dot, and I think the Yellow Dot, and maybe another colored dot trail, and they all got to the top. But I want you to think about heaven and your relationship with God this way. You're at the bottom of a mountain, and you get all these paths going in different directions, but only one gets to the top. Only one gets. What if you come to that mountain? And so that's where that analogy just kind of falls apart. But we live in a culture that's telling us, oh, it doesn't really matter, just as long as you feel good about yourself. So today we're going to look at a passage in the Old Testament, and actually we're going to look at about 15 chapters today. And you might ask, well, how are we going to do that? We got to be out of here by midnight, right? But here's why I do this sometimes. A lot of times I'll go through verse by verse, but sometimes you got to take a step back and see how all the verses fit together. The other day we were out in front of the house, and this little kid from down the street, little four-year-old kid, and his mother came by. And he had binoculars hanging around his neck. And he picked up the binoculars to look at us when we were like 3 feet away from him. And he said, I can't see you. Why can't he see us? He's too close to us, right? He's too close to it. If he stepped back like 100 feet, then he'd be able to see us through the binoculars. And that's what we need to do with God's word sometimes. You can pick out a verse, but how does this verse fit with all the other verses? So that's why we're going to take a bigger look at things today, and see how verses 35 to 40 of Exodus fit with verses 25 to 30. And you're going to see by the end of this how it all fits together, and you're going to see how this relates to our life today, because it does relate to our life today. So way back in Exodus 25, and you I know you've memorized all my sermons, so you're going to remember some of these slides, but here's what Exodus 25, verse 8 and 9 say. And this is the Lord speaking to Moses. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. So God wants them to make this place of worship out in the wilderness. Why? so that he will dwell among them, so that he can have a relationship with his people. Do you realize that? God wants to have a relationship with his people. And people look at the Old Testament sometimes, and sometimes you pick out a few verses and you say, oh, it's all about rules. And I will tell you, it's never been all about rules. It has always been about relationship, how you come to God. God wants to be in relationship with his people. He wants you to know him. So how do you get to God? How did you get to God 3,500 years ago? Well, God tells his people how to do that. You got to build a place of worship. And it was called a tabernacle. And I'm going to go through this quickly because we did this a number of weeks ago when we were on Exodus 25. But he has five chapters showing them exactly how to build this building. This is called the tabernacle. And out here was the altar where they sacrificed the animals. And there was a basin where the priests would wash. And these were specific dimensions. And God gave them all the dimensions. And in the back of the tabernacle was this gold box called the Ark of the Covenant. And God's Spirit resided right here. Those are angels' wings touching each other. And so God gave very specific instructions as to how to build this place of worship. And the Ark of the Covenant was in the back, and it was called the Holy of Holies. And no one was to go in there except the high priest once a year. And inside, God said, you're going to build the bread of the presence on a table and a seven-lamped menorah. And think about those things. What does Jesus say? I am the bread of life. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So all of this is looking ahead to Jesus. And the altar of incense, that represents prayers of people going up to the Lord. So all of this looked ahead to what Jesus was going to do, but it was very, very specific. And not only was the building specific, it was very specific what the priests had to wear. And, you know, for example, this guy's wearing this breastplate, okay? He's not a catcher for Team Israel. That's not what his position is. Okay, this breastplate has 12 stones. Each gemstone represents a tribe of the people of Israel. And so when he comes before God, he's coming on behalf of all the people, all 12 tribes. Everything is very specific. All these little things hanging here are very specific. And God said, you've got to do all these things in order to approach. And all through the wilderness, as they walked through the wilderness, everywhere they would stop, they would build this tabernacle, this big tent of worship for God. And then when they got to Israel and they got to Jerusalem, they replaced the tabernacle, which is a temporary structure, with the temple, a permanent structure. And that's where the people worshiped. And this is how God prescribed that this is how you're going to worship me. It's not optional. You don't get to make up your own religion. This is how you are going to worship the Lord. And God made it very, very specific. And so chapters 25 through 30 is, this is how you're supposed to build everything. And in chapters 35 through 40, you see a lot of repetition. They built it exactly the way God said. And this is what it says in chapter 39. The Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. They did exactly what God said. And look what happens next in chapter 40. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. They did it exactly the way God said, and guess what happens? God shows up. God allows them to enter relationship with him. They didn't get to make up their own faith. God showed them how to do it. They did it right, and they came to God. And God came to them, and they had relationship. And that is really the message of chapters 25 through 40. And if you look at one more thing, it says that in the next verses, in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. So here's what they did. They watched this cloud, which was over the tabernacle. If the cloud moved, they moved. If the cloud stayed where it was, they didn't move. Actually, that's not true. They did move sometimes when the cloud didn't move, and they got in trouble for it. Okay, they weren't supposed to go anywhere unless that cloud went ahead of them. And very similar to our lives, do we want to just go ahead and do what we think is right and let God follow along? No, we want to go where God tells us to go. And really, what we see in all of this is that we were created to be in relationship with God. And what that means is that we were created to worship God and to walk with God. We were created to worship and to walk. And when you think about that, when you are in worship, you are doing what God created you to do. You were created to give glory back to your Creator. And you were created to walk with Him every day of your life. And it's not just Sunday. All of life is worship. All of life we are to walk with Him and worship Him and do things that honor Him. So here's the question now. What's this got to do with me? I don't live in Israel. We're not going through the wilderness. There's no tabernacle. There's no temple. There's actually just a small piece of it left in Jerusalem right now. How does this relate to us? Well, like I said, all of Exodus and all of the Old Testament actually pointed ahead to Jesus. Look at what it says in John 1. It says, the Word became flesh, and the Word is Jesus, and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Made His dwelling among us. That, the actual word there in the Greek, is He tabernacled. He set up His temple. He was the physical place of worship where God's Spirit resided on the earth. And another, even, this really cool thing that also says in Scripture, it says that, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? So I want you to think about that. Think about all the Israelites had to do. They had to build this tabernacle or temple. They had to go through this ritual. They had to bring a sacrifice of their animal. Blood had to be shed. The high priest had to go into the temple just so that they could be in God's presence. What do we have to do to be in God's presence? Well, for us who are Christians, we just had to wake up. And actually, you don't even have to wake up, because you are in His presence when you're sleeping, whatever you're doing. His Spirit is in you all the time. We are always in His presence, and Jesus has made it possible. We sung that song this morning, all to Him I owe. Jesus paid it all. He did everything that needs to be done. He fulfilled all the Old Testament law, and now we can have a relationship with God. And we were also created to worship and to walk. And that's what we are called to do. But here's the question now. How do we get to God? It's not the same way the people of Israel did. God has changed the way we get to Him. Remember last week I talked to you about one of our sons coming here from Haiti and experiencing a revolving door for the very first time and becoming very confused as to how to do that? All right? Well, there's a new door to God. Okay? The old door was through the tabernacle and the temple. The new door is Jesus. Jesus has opened the door, and we receive that by faith. And Jesus tells us, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus told a grieving woman, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies. In Ephesians 2, it says, by grace are you saved through faith. We just receive it by faith. That is how we enter into relationship with God. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. We don't get to invent other ways to get to God. There is that one way through Jesus, and it's a beautiful way. And you know what happens, though? People are proud, and people have a hard time just receiving a gift by faith. You know, I know this guy, not somebody in our church, but a guy who loves to help people and loves to give and loves to do things for people. But he has a very hard time receiving help and receiving gifts. And I asked him, I said, what's wrong? Let me just help you. He said, no, can't do it. People are proud. People don't like to receive help. But what God has done, He's just offered us something as a gift. And Jesus has said, to enter the kingdom, you have to receive it like a little child. And you know, you've heard me, those of you who are part of our church for a long time, you've heard me use this analogy a few times. How does a little child receive a gift? Just take it, right? I've never seen a kid say, oh, no, no, no. You spent too much. Kids don't say that. Kids just take the gift, right? They just receive it, all right? If you want to give Caleb something, he will take it, right? He'll right after the service, give him something. He'll take it. If it's a ball, he'll be even more happy about that, okay? But just receive the gift by faith. Turn from your sin. Lord, forgive me for my sins. And turn to the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I believe that you lived for me and died for me and rose again, and you will be saved. There was a man who asked Paul and Silas, men, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. It's simple. It's profound. It's deep. It's big. But it's simple. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved. And that's the prescription. That's how you get to the top of the mountain. And once we do that, we are created. We are made new creations to worship God and to walk with God. And as I talked about last week, all of life is worship. Whether you're working or doing housework or yard work or you're riding your bike or you're doing schoolwork, you're playing a game, you're doing a sport, whatever you are doing is worship to God. All of life is worship. And all of life, we're to walk with God. And in last week, I preached to the folks from New Covenant Ministries, and I actually gave a similar message at men's breakfast this week on Isaiah 6. Isaiah sees a vision of heaven, and he sees God seated on the throne. And the Lord says, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. And Isaiah doesn't even know what the mission is. He has no idea what the mission is. And then the Lord tells him, okay, you've got to deliver this message. And the message is a message of judgment. So sometimes what the Lord calls you to do isn't easy. Isaiah also got to deliver great messages. He got to deliver the message of redemption that would come through Jesus Christ. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know that message. That came from Isaiah 2. But here's the idea. You know, it's like the Israelites with the cloud. When the cloud goes ahead, you follow the cloud. But here's what some people do. Here's what I've done. Is I've said, you know, here's my plan. Lord, please bless it. No. Here's God's plan. I'm just going to follow. Whether it's hard or whether it's easy. Whether it's really stressful or whether it's fun. Whatever it is, I'm just going to follow because I was created to worship and to walk. And you know, one of these stories, whenever I preach about something like this, it always comes back to me. The church, first church I was asked to interview at, well before I had heard of People's Church, I saw this advertisement where a church looking for a pastor in New Jersey, right outside of New York City, and I could see the skyline, and I had this feeling in my heart, and I said, oh Lord, not there. And anyway, I responded to it, and I went down there and interviewed, and Bella was like 2 months old, and Christy and I went down to New Jersey, and you could see the New York City skyline, oh, right from there. Can you imagine me preaching in New York? I mean, all of my Red Sox analogies just go out the window. They just don't work. Can you imagine me raising Yankees fans? Would you do it? Thank you. Good boy, right? No, no. But my thought at the time was, well, if the Lord calls you to do it, you do it. You just go. And as things would turn out, I didn't get the job. All right? God called me to a different place. But, you know, that's just a little example. Sometimes God calls you to something even harder than that. You just go. You just do it. Because we were created to worship and to walk, and it's all about Jesus. It's all about putting your faith in Christ. It's all about living for him and worshiping him and doing what he says. Not out of obligation to earn your way into heaven, but out of love. I have a Lord. I have a master who tells me what to do, and I get to walk with him. It's not I have to walk with him. I get to walk with him. And you know what? We were created to worship and walk. Sometimes the walk part isn't easy, but it's always great. Worship and walk is full of peace and full of joy. It's when we start to take things into our own hands and make ourselves little gods that we get ourselves into trouble. So today, here is the message, and this is the end of our study in Exodus for this series. God wants to be in relationship with you, and we were created to worship him and walk with him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've shown us the way, and that way is through Jesus, and that we come to you through faith in him. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has not done that, Lord, I pray that today that person would put their life in your hands, would put their faith in you, would give their life to Jesus today and forever. And Lord, I pray that for all of us here that we would walk with you and do the things that bring glory to you. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.